In this prayer, Srila Narottam Das Thakur is sharing the prayers of his heart to Lord Krishna with all of us. Srila Prabhupada would say that the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, although written in very simple Bengali language, contain the power as well as the knowledge of all the Vedas. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught that to understand the essence of the Vedas is not possible, even for the greatest Sanskrit scholar who studies literature after literature, birth after birth after birth. What is actually the essence of all knowledge? Krishna tells in Gita, Vedaishta Sarabera Hameva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeva Chaham. He is the compiler of Vedas, knower of Vedanta, and by all the Vedas, ultimately he is to be known. Lord Chaitanya explains the actual essence of all knowledge is revealed by studying the life of those great personalities who with all humility and devotion have surrendered their lives to the Lord. And when such great personalities as Thakur Narottam offer prayers to the Lord and write them, the essence of all realizations, the ideal of all aspirations is revealed to us. Narottam Das Thakur very systematically progresses in this prayer in such a way to teach us how to approach the Lord with prayer. First, he humbles himself. O Lord Hari, I have spent my life uselessly. Having obtained a human birth and having not worshipped Radha and Krishna, I have knowingly drunk poison. As we make spiritual advancement, actual spiritual advancement, we become more and more aware of how we are utilizing every moment. Durlapamanavajanmalobhyasamsare. After revolving within this cycle of birth and death through so many species of lifetimes, the human form is very, very rare. We take it for granted. All of those millions of births as trees and insects and snakes and birds and animals, we were deprived of any real opportunity for self-realization, for inner satisfaction. When we finally get to the human form of life, which is like Durga is sometimes defined as prison house. A prison without bars and walls. A prison where our own egoistic desires keep us bound. Birth after birth. When we come to the human form of life, the door to the prison house is open wide. All other species, we're just locked in. We can't see beyond just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, just somehow or other some temporary enjoyment and defending for survival. The lower species, there's really nothing more in life that they can aspire for than that. Mamupetya punara janma dukalaya mashashvatam napnavanti mahatmana samsidim paramam gata. With human life, the door is opened. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends into this world. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanirbhavati bharata. Again and again and again, and comes right in and says, "Follow me, I'll take you out. The door's open." And he gives us his holy words, the scriptures, throughout the world. Different times, different places, he has revealed that same essential word in different languages. And he sends his beloved devotees, the acharyas, prophets. Come, the door's open. You've been looking for happiness for millions and millions of births. Now the door's open. Come. Human life is so precious. Because every second is the most invaluable opportunity to progress toward the true ideal of life. And human form of life is not very long. Prahlad Maharaj warned his little classmates, who were only 5 years old, that this is the time to become serious about your life. They were studying, and it was time for play. The teachers left. It was the recess. "Let's go play." And Prahlad said, "You can play, but I have more important activities to perform. Why don't you play with us? Come and I will tell you." Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavata niha durlabha manusa janma tad apyatru vamartadam. Now you are 5 years old. This is the time. It's not too late yet. The moments are passing. As the moments pass, we're either conditioning ourselves to be further from God or conditioning ourselves to be closer to God. And we don't know how much time we have, but it's not much. 100 years is very little. Talk to your grandparents and ask them how fast their life passed. Little children think, on Friday, "I can't wait till school's out so I have the weekend to play." And that Friday lasts a long time for them. Yes, Padma, is it like that? But then talk to somebody who's your grandparents, and they'll tell you their whole life has passed like that Friday. As you get older, time goes faster. And when we look back, our whole life seems to have just flashed by within moments. That's the mystic power of time. Krishna's Yogeshwara. He's the supreme of all mystics. And one of his appearances in this world, he explains in Gita, is time. Time I am. Little by little devouring everything that exists. The oceans will be dry, the mountains will become powder, the stars will all fall from the sky. It's just a matter of time. And from the point of view of Mahavishnu, the entire life of the universal creation is just the length of one of his exhalations. And when he inhales, everything disappears. So Krishna comes as time. And how are we going to utilize our time? Even in the material scenario, good managers emphasize that priority of professional management is how you utilize your time. Because when an opportunity comes, you may never get it again for the rest of your life. You lose an opportunity, it's gone. And the nature of time is you can build up an empire and make one mistake out of neglect. And because you just misuse that moment, you could lose everything and may never get it back. Time is so precious. Chanakya Pandit says, you cannot buy back even a moment with all the wealth of the world. If you've lost a moment, it's gone forever. Ayur Harati Vai Pungsang Udyan, yes, that verse in Bhagavatam, it describes that with every rising and setting of the sun, those who are not attracted to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, with every rising and setting of the sun, they are one day closer to death. But for those who develop an attraction for hearing the glories of the Lord, with every rising, setting of the sun, they are one day closer to eternal life. So as we actually make spiritual advancement, we become more conscious of reality. And therefore we take every moment more seriously. A neophyte devotee can waste so much time talking things, doing things, so much things. And it, all right, doesn't matter. You know, I'm still trying. That's all right, you're still trying. But as you actually make spiritual progress, you start seeing the value at every moment. It's precious. It's greater than gold. It's greater than diamonds. It's greater than all the wealth in the entire U.S. stock market. A moment of time. It's so precious. And I've lost it. I've wasted it. So here Narottam Das Thakur is approaching the Lord like this. You see, a devotee takes any opportunity to be humbled. And an egoistic person takes any opportunity to boost the ego. Yes? Narottam Das Thakur, let us take Raghunath Das Goswami. It's an extreme example. If you try to imitate him, you will not survive. But we can definitely understand his spirit and try to inculcate it in whatever small way we can. He was chanting the names of the Lord, hundreds and thousands of names a day. And he would bow down to the devotees thousands of times a day. And he would bow down to the deities thousands of times of the day. And he was involved in writing beautiful spiritual books and prayers, immersed in his consciousness. He was so engrossed in spiritual activities. At the most, every day or two, he slept for 2 hours. And every couple days, he just took 1 poundful of buttermilk. In India, it's called chas. Just 1 poundful of buttermilk in a little leaf every couple days. And yet, when he was drinking that, how long does it take to drink 1 poundful of buttermilk? Maybe 2 seconds, 3 seconds. He would actually cry. He would think, see how sinful I am. I'm wasting so much precious time for my sense gratification, taking this buttermilk when I could be using it for Krishna. Now, if a materialistic person was like that, they would be considered psychiatrically deranged. But he was not like that, because he was actually in ecstasy feeling like that. How much more I could be doing for Krishna. With every moment, with every breath, with every beat of my heart, how much I could be doing to express my love for Krishna and do something wonderful for the world. And any moment wasted humbles them. That's not negative thinking. That's the ultimate positive thinking. Humble like a blade of grass. That was Raghunath Das Goswami. So here is Narottam Das Thakur giving 24 hours a day in the loving service of the Lord in a state of transcendental ecstasy. And yet he's praying in this way out of his deep, genuine heart's humility. I have spent my life uselessly. Having obtained a human birth and having not worshipped Radha and Krishna, I have knowingly drunk poison. But then he gives a hope. The treasure of love of God has descended from Goloka Vrindavan in the form of the congregational chanting of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that there are no hard and fast rules for chanting. The realization of going back to home, back to Godhead, which was available in Satya Yuga through deep contemplative meditation, in Treta Yuga that by performing vast yajnas, and by Dwapara Yuga by worshipping the Lord attentively according to all regulative principles, is easily attained. Same goal, simply by chanting the names of the Lord. And the Lord has many names, and there's no hard and fast rules in chanting them. Kevala Ananda Kanda, and it's joyful chanting. Prabhupada often would say, even children love to chant. In so many temples, just like you see in Radha Vrindavan Chandra Temple, there's a playroom for children. Our temple in Bombay, we have a fun day, which is the Sunday program for the children. It's not during the kirtan. The kirtan, all the children are happy, dancing, singing, laughing. It's wonderful to chant the names of the Lord. And children love to do it. So many parents, they're so proud of their little children when they're just little babies and they just jumping up and chanting. You see, they love Krishna so much. I remember Karnamrita. She was just this big. She was just like this dancing. She's still dancing and singing. But when the lecture comes, philosophy, take the kids out. Just get them out as soon as possible. Because they cry, they run around, they walk around. Or if they're very, very unusually obedient, they just sit, just waiting for the lecture to end. Just like yesterday at Vrindavan Prabhu and Ekavali's house, honest little child. I was speaking for some time and I asked, should I continue speaking? And immediately Madhavananda and Harinam's little boy Govinda immediately said, no! Do you remember that? You were all witnesses. I was right at the peak of a particular pastime. Right when it was culminating. And everyone was, I was thinking in my own subjective way that everybody's really at the edge of their seats for this. And just to increase the enthusiasm to hear, right at that culmination I said, should I continue? And Govinda said, no. I continued anyway. He was probably speaking on behalf of everyone. But the children, our little children, are honest. They don't have diplomatic, political expertise like we do, of trying to hide what we feel and who we are. That is the power of the holy name. It's so simple, it's so wonderful. And there are no hard and fast rules. We can sing, we can dance, we can pray, we can chant on our beads. Just somehow or other absorb ourselves in the sound of Harinam. Chaito Dharapanamarav Janam Bhavamahadavagni Nivapanam. The holy name is none different than Krishna. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. The holy name, Narottam Das is saying, has descended from the spiritual world. It's not an ordinary sound vibration. But what is the unlimited, inconceivable, supreme mercy of the holy name, although it is the avatar of the Lord that has descended from Goloka Vrindavan? Anybody, on their mundane tongues can vibrate it. All that's required is a little bit of sincerity and desire. Therefore, of all avatars, there is none so merciful as the holy name. And when we chant that holy name, it cleanses our hearts, it cleanses our minds. And if we receive the holy name with the proper disposition of service and devotion, then it awakens our dormant love. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhijiti Koriyayudoi. That love of God, prema, bhakti, is within the heart of every living being. It is our nature. It is our original consciousness. But somehow or other, we have chosen to divert our attention away from ourselves. And thus, we have been just accumulating more and more and more worldly conceptions, attachments, and our ego has become out of control. But the name of God cleans all that away and awakens our original, natural, spiritual ecology within our hearts. So Narottam Das Thakur is singing in this way. He has spent his life uselessly drinking the poison of egoistic pursuits, not worshipping Radha and Krishna. But here is the hope that the holy name has descended from the spiritual world. And then, in a spirit of great humility and eagerness, why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? Day and night my heart burns from the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not taken the means to relieve it. Narottam Das Thakur is herein not only speaking the great humility and the intensity of his love, but he's also speaking in representation of practically all of the population of the world. Srila Prabhupada explains that a teacher knows the alphabet, but yet, for the sake of the students, will go through all the fundamental, elementary exercises of how to write the alphabet. To make A, you first like this, and then like this, and then you go, that's A. She's going through the exercise as if she doesn't know to teach others. So that is Acharya. That is a great personality. With all humility in a spirit of compassion and service, they reveal how we're supposed to approach the Lord, how we're supposed to learn the art of devotional service. After speaking this, Narottam Das Thakur, he's speaking of the darkness of being in ignorance and wasting our time. Although the holy name is here eternally, we're not even taking advantage of it. We're not becoming attracted to it. The perils of worldliness are like a blazing forest fire that's burning our hearts. What to do? In that darkness, he's now, with great, great ecstatic hope, revealing the light of the sun that has risen. Brajendra Nandana Jay Shachi Shuta Hoylo She Balarama Hoylo Nitai. But there's hope. In this age of Kali Yuga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has appeared as the son of Satchi. And Balaramji has come as Nityananda Prabhu to bring ultimate hope, to bring mercy even to the most fallen. And how are they giving that mercy? Through spreading the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Dinahina yata chilo harinam udarito. Tara sakshi jagai madhai. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have promoted, propagated widely, without discriminating of who is qualified or who is not qualified, the medicine of the holy name. Inechi ashadi maya nashi borolagi. Harinam mahamantra lao tumi magi. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda had this message. We have the medicine that will cure all the ills of your heart. It is the holy name of Krishna. The holy name delivered all those souls who took shelter of it, even those who were most lowly and sinful. And the evidence? Jagai and Madhai. They were such sinners that Yamaraj had an entire department dedicated on 24-hour shifts just to somehow or other keep the calculations of their sinful activities. And they were all having nervous breakdowns because they were working so hard. Chitragupta, Yamaraj's secretary, he said, but Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their mercy, because they invested the power of the holy name and forgiveness in the hearts of Jagai and Madhai, that entire mountain of sins was reduced to the size of a sesame seed and thrown in the ocean. Hare Krishna. Jagai and Madhai became the purest, most exalted devotees. And then Narottam Das Thakur prays to Sri Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna. Please, unqualified as I am, do not kick me away. My only hope, my only shelter is your lotus feet. Please be merciful. To get a deeper understanding of Narottam Das Thakur's sweet mood, as we sing this song, we will continue our narration from yesterday. Where did we leave off? Everyone, speak what you remember we left off. Yes, Thakur Narottam, I will review little for some who have not come yesterday. Narottam Das Thakur, from Vrindavan, he came to his home in Khetri, which is today in Bangladesh. From Khetri, he decided he wanted to go on pilgrimage to meet the associates of Lord Chaitanya that were still living. There were only a few left, because after the Lord disappeared from the world, so many of the devotees went back to the spiritual world along with him. So he went to Navadvip and saw the holy places of the Lord and met the devotees of the Lord. They all told him, it is best if you go to Nilachala, Jagannath Puri, very soon, because the devotees there who were in his constant association are severely feeling the pangs of separation. From Navadvip he went to Kadaha, which was the residence of Janava Devi, the consort of Nityananda Prabhu. She blessed him, said, please go to Jagannath Puri soon. Eventually he arrived in Puri, and it's a beautiful story. He saw the various temples, Jagannath's temple. Then he was taken by the devotees to the various places of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. He went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Then he went to Tota Gopinath temple and saw the sitting place of Gadadhar Pandit. Then he went to Siddha Bakula, the bhajan kutir of Haridas Thakur, in his samadhi, where his body was laid to rest by the hands of the Lord. Then he came back to his residence at Gopinathacharya's house. As he was feeling such separation, he was thinking in his heart, why am I so unfortunate that I couldn't see Lord Chaitanya's Leela with my own eyes? Why did I have to be born after he left the world? And I never got to meet Nityananda Prabhu. I never got to meet Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, and all of these great personalities. Gadadhar, Adwaita, Srivas. In that state of mind, he fell asleep. And he had a spiritual vision. In his dream, which was not just a dream, it was a revelation. He was on the grand road in Puri,
And he saw before his eyes millions of people assembled. And there was the chariot of Lord Jagannath. And in front of that was the chariot of Subhadra. And in front of that was the chariot of Balaram. And then he saw with his own eyes the magnificent, splendorous form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his arms dance, arms raised, dancing in ecstasy, bathing all of the people around him with the tears of his love as he loudly chanted the holy names. The beauty of Lord Chaitanya's form utterly enchanted his heart with love. And who is there with Lord Chaitanya? All of his associates from Puri, his associates from Navadvip, his associates from Vrindavan, his associates from his South Indian tour. There were thousands and thousands of devotees chanting and dancing, all in this vision. Nara, in the presence of Lord Jagannath's chariot, Narottam Das Thakur stood on the side of the road, just crying in happiness. And then Lord Chaitanya walked right up to him, held him by the hand, embraced him, and said, Narottam, I have a mission for you. My love is invested in your heart. I am empowering you to spread the Harinam Sankirtan movement in all directions. Now you go back to Bengal. I wish that you establish a new kind of kirtan that will mesmerize people's hearts. Your song should contain the essence of all of my teachings and describe my beautiful pastimes. Now you go at once, and I will always be there to protect you and to empower you. Then the dream disappeared. Narottam Das Thakur the next day began his journey. On his way, he stopped in Ekachakra. And there was an old Brahmin. And that old Brahmin, he was actually Nityananda Prabhu in disguise, and took him on an entire tour of all of Ekachakra, explaining, this is where Nityananda Prabhu played, this is where he would be fed by his mother, this is where he would be bathed. So many wonderful stories. And after the complete tour of Ekachakra, the Brahmin disappeared. And Narottam Das Thakur became so uncontrollably, mysteriously attached to this Brahmin. He didn't know why. But he felt like he had to end his life without the association of this Brahmin. He was feeling such immense separation. And because his heart was in that state, the Brahmin appeared again. Then right before Narottam Das Thakur's eyes, the Brahmin transformed into Lord Balaram. Complexion like a spring cloud, with a beautiful tied knot of hair on his head. He was holding a plow and a club, golden ornaments and blue garments, beautiful lotus-like eyes. He gazed upon Narottam. Then that form of Balaram transformed into Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu embraced Narottam Das Thakur with great affection and said, you are my favorite devotee. I have appeared to relieve all of your distress. Please know I will always be with you to empower you with my love. And then he disappeared. So Narottam Das Thakur went to Khetri. And when he arrived in Khetri, many people came to greet him. And I'm going to summarize what we spoke last night. He went into his room to rest, and Lord Chaitanya again appeared to him and told him that there is a house of a very wealthy Brahmin, and in his grain silo, I have hidden myself in the form of a metal deity. You'll find that place because you just ask, where are the grain silos infested by venomous snakes? Go there. I'm waiting for you. Have no fear. Narottam Das Thakur found the place, the home of Vipradas. When he told Vipradas, I'm going in your silos, he said, no, you cannot go. There's venomous snakes there. I've called snake charmers, and the more they chant their mantras, the louder the snakes hiss. Yes, like that. Narottam Das Thakur says, I have important business, urgent business in those silos. Have no fear. All your desires will be fulfilled, and you will be amazed to see what I come out with from those silos. Well, this is faith. He started walking right toward them, and the snakes were hiss. This is the type of kirtan also. And all the people were saying, no, you can't go in. You will die. Stop. And he just was smiling and walked right toward the silos. And as soon as he came to the door, all the snakes, hundreds of snakes, just, psst, they just all slithered away into the forest, never to return. He walked in, and there he found the deity of Lord Gauranga and his consort. As soon as he touched that deity, it was like a thunderbolt of ecstasy just struck his entire body. He carried it out. And the people were amazed. They all followed him in procession as he chanted the holy names. When he came to his house, he placed the deity down, and then for the first time, he actually looked at it with great, great attention. His eyes were gazing as torrents of tears were pouring due to his affection. In that state, he became so intoxicated and empowered, he began to sing and dance in a way no one had ever seen before. He inaugurated the new type of kirtan at that moment. And as he was dancing, the Kanaras and the Gandharvas, who are the musicians of the heavenly worlds, were watching him, and they were put to shame. They said, such singing has not been seen since Lord Chaitanya and his associates were personally singing. This kirtan is so intense that Narottam Das Thakur's calling upon the name of the Lord is bringing the dancing, the instruments, and everything around to supernatural spiritual life. Everything was surcharged. The demigods were showering flowers upon him, and they were disguising themselves as humans just to touch his lotus feet. In the dream, the Lord also told Narottam Das Thakur to install that deity on Gaur Purnima with 5 deities of Krishna. So now we'll begin tonight's lecture. Should I continue?
No!
There's no children present. So Thakur Narottam wanted to make the arrangements for this festival along with Srinivasacharya and Shamananda Prabhu, who were his very, very dear, loving associates. He had the 5 deities of Radha Krishna made, according to Lord Chaitanya's direction. And when all the, and not only that, but Santosh Dutt, his cousin brother, he just invested practically the entire state's treasury for this festival. He built a beautiful temple for the deities, a wonderful kirtan hall that would accommodate many, many devotees. He built wonderful godowns to fill them with enough bhoga for tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of people. He built wonderful kitchens for mass quantities. He built guest house, beautiful guest house for all the guests that would come and exalted personalities. Wouldn't it be nice if we had political leaders in that spirit today? Srinivasacharya arrived in a place called Budari, Teliat Budari, which is in India now. It's just across from the Padma River from Khetri, and then a little distance away. So in Budari, he came with a great devotee of the name Ramchandra Kaviraj, who was one of his dear disciples. And they heard that Narottam Das Thakur was coming to meet him. Everyone in Budari was so eager for Narottam Das Thakur to come. And Srinivasacharya was telling Ramchandra Kaviraj all about Narottam Das Thakur. And Ramchandra Kaviraj was so eager to meet him, so eager to meet this Vaishnava. This is life, eagerness, anticipation to associate with great devotees. He was so eager that that night, as he was resting, Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and told Ramchandra Kaviraj, "I have not revealed to you who you are. You do not know your identity, but I'm going to give you a hint. You are as dear to me as Narottam Das Thakur. And tomorrow you will meet Narottam and you will become best friends for life. You will go with him. It is my desire that the two of you work together to propagate Krishna Prema through Krishna Nam." Then the Lord disappeared. And the Lord also appeared to Srinivasacharya and told him the same thing. So when Narottam Das Thakur arrived, there was a wonderful meeting. And they began to make the arrangements for Gaur Purnima festival. It will be the first major festival of Lord Chaitanya in history. Because when Lord Chaitanya was on this planet, he never allowed anyone to celebrate Gaur Purnima for him because he was in the role of a devotee. So they decided how to invite all the associates of the Lord, because it was Lord Chaitanya's will that all of his surviving associates would come there for this festival. So that night, Srinivasacharya, he took rest. But before doing so, he was actually feeling very deep concern in his heart. He was lamenting that Gaur Purnima is coming up very soon. We have to send all the invitations, and it's already late. It may not be possible for the associates of Lord Chaitanya, who are so important, to get here on time. So when he dozed off into some light sleep, Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and said, "Have no fear. All my associates will come with great happiness." So then Srinivasacharya personally hand-wrote every invitation for each devotee. Not like with a printing press. So personal. Hand-wrote each and every invitation personally. It wasn't the same thing. Each invitation was unique and different and a personal expression of gratitude, affection for that devotee and inviting them. And in those days, they didn't have email where you just write one thing and then you press it and then everybody gets it within 5 minutes. And if you press the wrong button, then all the wrong people get it. The people that you don't want that message to be seen by, I'll get it, just by one little slip of the finger. Yes? No, he sent his messengers, and there was a particular messenger sent, and they had to walk hundreds and hundreds of miles, sometimes longer, and personally come and read the message and give the message. We all know who was the guest of honor. Janava Devi. Although all these great renunciates, sages, Janava was the chief guest because she is the consort of Nityananda Prabhu, the very embodiment, his Shakti, the embodiment of his love. When she received that message in Kardaha, she became so very, very happy. At first she was wondering whether she could make it there on time. And as she was thinking like that, in her heart, Lord Chaitanya appeared to her and said, Janava Devi, you will make it to that festival. And I want to tell you a secret. Because of Srinivasacharya, Shyamananda, and Narottam Das Thakur's sincere devotion to serve all the Vaishnavas and to please all the Vaishnavas, myself and all my associates will appear in his kirtan and you will see with your eyes. Now all these other visions are just private things and dreams and visions of the heart. But nobody saw the Lord with their eyes. He disappeared from the world years before. So Janava began her journey. She stopped in Navadvip and went to the house of Srivas. At Srivasangam, the two surviving brothers, Sripati and Srinidhi, immediately joined. And then from Shantipur, Achyutananda and Sri Krishna, the two sons of Advaitacharya, came to join. And along with her was Miniketana Ramdas, Vrindavan Das Thakur, Suryadas Sarikela, many very great, Murari Chaitanya. You know who Murari Chaitanya is? Such a devotee, associate of Nityananda Prabhu. He used to pick up serpents and put them on his lap when he chanted japa. He'd grab tigers' tails and jump on their back, chanting the holy names. And sometimes he'd go underwater for several days at a time, just to be in seclusion when he'd chant japa. Now you may think this is impossible. It is for you and me. But for those who are the divinely inspired associates of the Lord, impossible is a word in fool's dictionary. So many great devotees. Then she went to Katwa, Kantaka Nagara. And there the dear disciple of Sri Gadadhar, Yadunandan, joined the party. And ultimately they arrived in Kethari Gram. Santosh Dutt sent boat, and they were carried across the river Padma. And there was Narottam Das, Shyamananda, Srinivasacharya, and all the devotees to greet her. And all the other Vaishnavas, who were the associates of Lord Chaitanya, directly. There was wonderful guest house built for each of them. Amazing thing. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, and Shyamananda appointed their senior most dear disciples, the senior ones, to become the personal servants, to do all the menial deeds for Lord Chaitanya's guests who came. They made such arrangements. The next day was going to be Gaur Purnima. There was much excitement in the air. When the dawn came, they all gathered in the temple of Lord Gauranga. And there was the installation ceremony. The great acharyas appointed Srinivasacharya to perform that installation. First he touched the feet of all the devotees and begged for their blessings and permission. Then began the ceremony of the Abhishekam, then dressing the Lord. Then they performed the bhoga offering and then the beautiful arti. When the devotees saw the forms of the Lord, they were struck with wonder. There was Sri Gauranga, that beautiful solid gold deity of Lord Chaitanya that Narottam Das Thakur rescued from the granary of Vipradas.
And there were the five deities that he had made on the order of the Lord. There was Radharaman, Radhakanta, Balabikanta, Sri Krishna, and Braj Mohan. When the devotees saw the beauty of these deities, they were overwhelmed with incomprehensible happiness. When they saw the deity of Lord Chaitanya, they felt, we have never seen a deity that so perfectly resembles his original form. Janavadevi then indicated that the kirtan should begin. Should I continue? Narottam Das Thakur had his kirtan team begin singing. As he was singing, he was literally melting everyone's hearts. Actually, first, Narottam Das Thakur went to Janavadevi, touched her feet, and asked for her blessings. Then he went to all of the senior Vaishnavas, and with tears of sincerity in his heart and his eyes, and folded palms, he begged for the permission and blessings of all these Vaishnavas to perform kirtan. Because this was his mood. The chanting of the holy name is not just singing. The chanting of the holy name is holy worship. The chanting of the holy name is actually accessing the divine vibration of love from the spiritual world. We're actually manifesting God within the world. Kirtan is extraordinary. We're manifesting the supreme object of all love, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, to this world. We're instruments of the Lord's avatar. And it's only possible to do it properly if we trinadapi sunichina taror ivasi hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To the degree we are following this principle, to that degree the Lord will actually manifest within the world and from our own hearts through kirtan. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like tree, eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. Yes, to the degree we have that spirit, Krishna manifests through our hearts, through our voice, into the world. And the natural expression of humility is to beg for blessings, to not think that I am the one, that through me the Lord will manifest. No. It's through the blessings of the Vaishnavas. I can only be at the best an instrument of their blessings. So this is how Narottam Das Thakur began his kirtan. He went to every senior Vaishnav, touched their feet, and with tears begged them for blessings and for permission and for empowerment to chant the holy names. And then a great wonder took place. Please listen carefully. If you hear with a submissive and attentive heart, your life will never, ever, ever be the same. Janavadevi, the Shakti of Nityananda Prabhu, was so very pleased with Narottam Das Thakur's devotional attitude that with her beautiful lotus eyes, she gazed upon him. With her glance, her continuous glance, she empowered him with her loving mercy. Through her glance, she empowered him with Nityananda Prabhu's ecstatic love. And he was further empowered by the blessings of all Lord Chaitanya's associates. Thus, when he began to sing, everyone's hearts were melting. And Raghunandan Thakur, the son of Mukunda Sarakar, disciple and nephew of the great Narahari Sarakar,
He became so enthusiastic. He just became overwhelmed with the flooding of happiness and gratitude. Now, Raghunandan Thakur was one of the favorite personal associates of Lord Chaitanya. Every year in Ratha Yatra, he was one of the lead dancers. Raghunandan Thakur picked up garlands and started placing garlands and sandalwood on each of the mardangas and kartals and chanting special mantras to worship them, because they were the paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the most holy of all forms of worship, Sankirtan. With great love and devotion, there were special garlands made for each karatal and each murdanga, and he placed it on and offered obeisances to the murdangas and karatals, decorated them with sandalwood paste. Then he offered obeisances to every devotee and placed garlands on all the singers of the kirtan and decorated them with chandan. And they were all offering obeisances to him because he was so far senior. It was a beautiful scene of love. Narottam Das Thakur was singing in the mood of such humility and surrender. And the great Mahants, the senior Vaishnavas that were there, they were marveling. His beautiful dance, his beautiful song, the incredible lyrics that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally manifesting through him. The kirtan became more and more and more intense as it built up. Intense with emotion. Soon the rhythm began building too. And devotees were becoming intoxicated with namamrita, with the nectar of the holy name. So intoxicated. And then Narottam Das Thakur shifted the style of the kirtan and began to sing of the glories of Nadia Chandra, Lord Chaitanya, who was experiencing the mood of Sri Radharani in her love for Krishna. That was the crescendo of the kirtan, where he was describing the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya as Krishna tasting the nectar of Radha's love. When he was singing in that way, all the devotees were so overwhelmed with separation from Lord Chaitanya, they were just crying out the holy names with the longing to see the Lord. This kirtan became so intensely devotional that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not resist from appearing before everyone's eyes.
Devo.
Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. There was Lord Chaitanya, who had large, beautiful form. His complexion was like splendorous molten gold. His eyes were like blooming lotus petals that reached practically to his ears. His nose was like the sesame flower. His lips were like fresh, ripe bimba fruit. His face was like the full moon. His neck was like that of a lion. His beautiful long arms were like the trunks of elephants. His chest was broad. His waist was thin. There was a beautiful Vajayanti mala, a garland of forest flowers extending below his knees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, weeping in ecstasy, and along with Lord Chaitanya, all of his associates. They saw Nityananda Prabhu dancing. Gadadhar Pandit appeared. Srivas Thakur appeared. Achyutananda saw his father, Advaitacharya, appear. And then there was Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, King Prataparudra, Kolavecha Sridhar, Suklambar Brahmachari, Budhimanta Khan, Haridas Thakur, Vakreshwar Pandit, Murari Gupta, all the devotees of the Lord, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, even the devotees of South India, Venkata Bhat, Trimala Bhat, Prabodhananda Saraswati, they all appeared together, dancing ecstatically in kirtan. And each of the eternal associates of the Lord who was appeared began dancing with one of the devotees. This was incredible. Even people who were just atheistic, blasphemous people who came to the festival just to criticize sarcastically, when they saw the Lord and his associates dancing, all they could do was weep in ecstasy, raise their arms, dance, and chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Even those who were blind were given vision to see. Even those who were deaf were given the capacity to hear the Lord singing. Even those who were dumb were loudly chanting God's names. They danced together and danced together for hours. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya, embraced them, and spoke something confidentially that, as far as I know, nobody knows what he said. But after he spoke to them, the Lord and all of his associates disappeared from everyone's sight. And to the degree everyone was happy, everyone was plunged in the misery of separation. They couldn't bear it. People were crying out, where is Lord Gauranga? Did he go this way? And someone else said, Nityananda, Nityananda, where did he go? And they were running in all directions. Murari Gup, Haridas Thakur, Swarup Damodar, where is Swarup Damodar? Where is Srivas Thakur? Where did he? They were all looking, running, crying out the names of the associates of the Lord, until finally they gave up all hope. They realized they were gone. Forever, a cloud of gloom came over that assembly, and the devotees just fell to the ground, rolling in tears, and eventually unconscious. And the amazing thing, even the birds, the insects, the snakes, the trees, and the animals were crying in separation from the Lord. Even those just curious people who came to see what's happening here, they were rolling in the ground crying in separation from the Lord. Janavadevi, who was feeling as much or more separation than any of them, but who was always in the spirit of serving the devotees, she called Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya with Shamananda Prabhu and told them, it is now time to rejoice and celebrate Holi. Bring the scented colored powders. So they brought, and Janavadevi announced that now there will be Holi. Actually, other devotees announced, but she was presiding. And then she went on the altar, and there was vessels of very fragrant, scented, bright-colored powders. And with her fingers she took and she sprinkled them very lovingly on each of the deities. Psh, psh, psh. And when the devotees saw the deities celebrating Holi from the hands of Janava, they forgot all their sorrow. They were overwhelmed with joy to see the Lord enjoying like this. So after they watched the Didi celebrating Holi on the altar from the hands of Janavadevi, and Srinivasacharya Narottam was helping, devotees were mesmerized. Bhagavatam explains,
When you water the root of the tree, all parts of the tree are satisfied. Those who have pure hearts, their satisfaction is the pleasure of Krishna. When Krishna is satisfied, that is our satisfaction. When Krishna is satisfied, that is our goal. All egoistic, separatistic conceptions vanish when we make Krishna's pleasure the root of our lives. Then Janavadevi took all the Mahaprasad of those colors and distributed it to the devotees. And those devotees, all with the Mahaprasad of the deities, celebrated Holi. But not like in India today. It wasn't. Holi is a Vrindavan pastime. It's not a Kurukshetra pastime. In India, it is Kurukshetra. It's warfare. But this is not the way the Vaishnavas would celebrate. In Vrindavan, it's a festival of... It's the competition of love. That my love is represented by these colors. And by sprinkling them on you in such a way that give you pleasure, I will conquer you with my love. And everyone's trying to conquer. Radharani and her sakis, gopis, are on one side, and Krishna with his sakas and gopas on another. And they have a war of love, where they gracefully, lovingly sprinkle and spray scented, sweet colors on each other, trying to conquer the other with love. And every year when they celebrate Holi, Radharani's camp, or let us say Radharani's army, is always victorious over Krishna's. Because love always conquers the beloved. And that is why Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to taste the sweetness of Radharani's love. He wanted to understand, how does she conquer me with her love? What does she see in me that brings her such happiness? I'm the reservoir of all pleasure. But when she sees me, she experiences a happiness tens and millions of times greater than my happiness. So this is the spirit of Holi in Krishna's Nitya Leela of Vrindavan. And this was the spirit that they were. They were actually, love of a Vaishnav is an expression of love for Krishna. Mad bhakta puja vyadika. Krishna tells, if you, worship of my devotee is more dear to me than worshiping me. So showing love to a Vaishnav is showing love to Krishna. If we worship the deity but don't show love to the Vaishnavas, that is called Kanishta Adhikari, a very neophyte external devotee. The heart of Krishna is his devotees. As we satisfy the devotees, we satisfy Krishna's heart. So they were playing Holi very, very gracefully, lovingly, beautifully. And in this way, Janavadevi erased everyone's lamentation and brought everyone's consciousness back to great happiness. And they had kirtan all night long with Narottam Das Thakur. They had kirtan until Mangalarti. And the whole time of the kirtan, everyone's minds were fixed in the remembrance of Lord Chaitanya and his associates dancing amongst them. And now it brought them great joy. How many of you would have liked to be there for that festival? Some of you may have been, but you just don't remember. But according to the Shastra, sound vibration is non-different than the event or than the person when it is spiritual. If with receptive heart we hear the narration according to the scripture of this wonderful, wonderful Leela, we are factually, at this very moment, participating in that Leela. It is beyond time and space. That is the power of transcendental sound. It manifests the Lord in his pastimes according to our receptivity. The next morning, Janavadevi decided to personally cook for all the devotees. Not only did she personally cook and organize and direct, but she personally served the devotees with her own hands. Yes, she was the worshipable senior acharya of the whole festival. But yet, she didn't give up her motherly nature. She was a mother. And she was an acharya to everyone, but in her heart, she was a mother. And all the Vaishnavas were her children. She served them with such love. These devotees, Raghunandan Thakur, Sripati, Srinidhi, the associates of Lord Chaitanya, it was too much for them, eating the prasad that was cooked by Janavadevi and served with her own hands. They just kept eating and eating and eating. And these were very austere renunciates, some of them, but they just kept eating. And Raghunandan turned to Sripati, Srinidhi. They were talking amongst themselves that we may never, ever, ever get such nectarine prasad cooked by Janavadevi's hands. We should just keep eating. So they really ate and ate and ate. They couldn't stop eating. And Janavadevi kept serving. When everyone was completely satisfied, then Janavadevi sat down all the servers who assisted her and started serving them. Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur said, "Please, please, let us serve you." She served all the servers, along with Narottam Das, Srinivas, and Shamananda. They were her assistants. They served all the servers with her. And then when they served all the servers, they wanted to feed her. She said, "No, I must feed you. I must serve the servants of the servers of the servers." And when absolutely everyone was completely satisfied with Janavadevi's Mahaprasad, or her prasad, then she sat down and drank a little milk. So this Kateri festival lasted for several days, and then the moment came that nobody wanted, where Janava and all the Vaishnavas announced that it was time to go. Hare Krishna. We will end here and continue at next satsang. I believe it's next Wednesday at Vrindavan Prabhu's house. Or there may be a surprise program sometime in between also. With this spirit that we have imbibed through this pastime, let us now perform Harinam Sankirtan and dance. Thank you very much. I have one bit of information for you, that this deity of Lord Gauranga is in a place called Murshidabad. How many of you have been to Murshidabad? Huh? Murshidabad is about 3 hours from Mayapur. It's not far. And in the district of Murshidabad is the village of Gamvila. Gamvila is the home of Narottam Das Thakur's most intimate disciple, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. And in his home is that original pure solid gold deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Gauranga. And just in the month of February,
Indra Jumana, Swami Maharaj, Sri Prahlad, Prabhu, and myself went to visit that deity. That deity only gives darshan one day a year. There's an old, dilapidated, ancient temple that's practically ruins. And one day a year, they bring the deity to that temple. And hundreds and thousands of people come for darshan. It's just a small courtyard. And the rest of the year, the deity is just in some very, very poor people's old house. It's just ruins. The deity's just in the house. But somehow when we went, they let us in. And there's just a little room with Sri Gauranga and Ganga Narayan Chakravarti's deities and other deities. And we were allowed to worship the deities for several hours, actually. So someday we can all go together to see that beautiful deity of Sri Gauranga. In fact, Indra Jumana Maharaj took photos. He showed them to you? Acha. So everything, you heard it all before. Anyways, when we were in Khetri together at the birthplace of Narottam Das Thakur, we were given this photo of Narottam Das Thakur. This is a photo of the painting that's at the actual very spot where Narottam Das Thakur appeared in the world.